So, no doubt, amen. He's looking, and he said, my daddy told me, my mother, how long it took for me to get here. And now I got a wife. We've been married for 18, 19 years. And watch this. No doubt, Abraham told him that God said that he would make me the father of many nations. And in order for that to be, guess what? Isaac has, because the Bible says he's the what? The son of promise. It's through him. You do, have mercy, Lord. You do know that it's through this line, that the God man comes. His name is Jesus. That's what this story is tailored to teach you and I. That's where we are right now. Notice the title. It says, sons for who? Isaac and Rebecca. But wait a minute. But watch this. You know what it's also tailored to teach us? To wait patiently on the Lord. David writes about that. You do know that, right? Over the book of Psalms, he writes about it in Psalm 37. He mentions it again in 34. But you know something? That word wait doesn't mean that we sit on our hands and do nothing. To rest, to settle in him, but yet demonstrate our faith by continuing to serve God while we patiently wait. Here it is. You can't get ahead of God. When you do what you did, God won't get involved with it. And then you have to deal with the consequences of the choice you made. We have to wait on him. Isaac is praying during these 20 years. Notice the difference between he and his father. His father prayed, but then his father also got weak in his faith too, because he allowed his what? His wife to come up with an ideal that was not a God ideal. And you remember what it cost him, right? Verses 1 through, hear me well, 18 says that Abraham lived many years. He was up in age. And these are the years of Abraham. And at 175, he dies. Watch this. Here it is. You need to hear this, because then now, you know what it does? It then shifts. You and I thought that Ishmael was off the scene. We would never hear about him anymore. Nobody. But the Bible says, and Ishmael. These are the sons of Ishmael. How many? 12. Representative of their cities. And how many sons did Isaac have? 12. But watch this. Look what God does. Ishmael dies at 137 in chapter 25. He's 137 years old, dies. But watch this. But then God, the 12 sons, he moves them, guess where, away to the east. So they're no longer a challenge for Isaac, because the Bible says that Abraham gave Isaac what? Everything he had. But ironically, look what happens. Rebecca is now pregnant, and even though the struggle that they could see could materialize is no longer there, but there's a struggle within her womb. I'm gonna bless you right here. Yeah, turn to Romans chapter 9. and let's look at it. Notice what Paul writes in chapter 9 as it pertains to this very story in Genesis chapter 25. Notice what he says. Amen. Look what he says. Here it is. Notice, beginning at verse 10 of Romans chapter 9, and watch this. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived, watch this, by one, even by our father Isaac. For the children, here it is, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. Did you hear that? That the purpose of heaven, listen, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of what, but of what? It was said unto her, here it is, what was said, what did God say? The elder shall do what? As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Who came first? Esau. But here it is, Jacob holding his what? His heel. And if you read further, and as we know, in those days, during the antiquity, the elder was to be what? Heir. And you know the story, how he then does what? Esau. He abdicates his birthright for what? For a bowl of soup. Once you eat the soup, soup gone. Now what you got? How many times, how many of us? Not you, but me. Because we couldn't see beyond the tip of our nose. It was simply because of what was happening right now. We were uncomfortable. We don't want to wait. We want it right now. Like that son of mine. Not yours, but mine. Isaac and Rebekah had to wait. The Bible says it like this. God is not slack concerning his promises. And we just have to be patient and wait on him. It's in his time. And when you wait on him, the outcome is much better than when our little finite mind and our little being uncomfortable. Hear me, what? Have mercy, Lord. Do you know, man, when you, just observe sometime. When you make folk uncomfortable, they get angry, man. They this 21st century America we live in, folk don't want to be uncomfortable or inconvenienced or, man, this my routine. Don't you disturb it. This is what I do. We're creatures of habit. Watch when folk come into church. They'll go sit in the same place. They'll I am a church member says, what, sister? You're going to be made uncomfortable because watch this. If you're not uncomfortable, you're not doing anything. And if someone is frustrating you and you're frustrated about what you're doing, then you're doing it for the wrong reason, because it's not about what you're doing, it's about who you're doing it for. These sons for Isaac and Rebekah had a call on their life while they were yet in their mother's womb. We just read it, did we not? Don't miss your calling. The Bible says the first shall be last and the last shall be first. songwriter wrote it like this: as long as I got a seat in the kingdom, that's all right. I just want to get in. I just want to be in the number. What number is unimportant? I just want to be in the number. It's that rascal who isn't in the number that needs to be concerned. I just want to be in the number. Amen. If you will, my sisters and brothers, let us stand and read our golden text, and then we'll jump right into our lesson for today and hear what God has to say to you and I. And if you're prepared, let us read together. Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Genesis chapter 25, verse 21. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. All right, let's hear this. Sometimes we become convinced that God is working in our lives until an obstacle shows its ugly head. And then we get discouraged. And then we want to give up. Then we faint. We lose hope. And then here's what we do. God, where are you? We don't believe that God is still there, that he is still actively moving in our lives. You do know over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, about verse 7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Even though you can't see it, you have to have the faith to believe that God will do what he said he will do. You just heard it. We just read it, did we not? It's right here. I didn't make it up. You read it. We read it together right there. Genesis chapter 25, verse 20. Listen what it says. Isaac did what? Entreated the Lord for his wife. You know what that means? Entreated, that word. He asked earnestly. Which is to suggest that he what? He prayed. Because it's right there. Watch it. It says, because she was what? Why did he pray? Because she was barren. Is that not what happened to his father? There's a lot to be learned by observing the life of others whom God has done what? Showed up. And a miracle happened. She was up in age, was Sarai, his mother, when he was born. She was what, 89, 90 years of age. We do what we can to get around it. Here's the mountain. And I don't want to. You do know, if God says that mountain right there you must go through, I assure you, if you try to figure out a different route, you end up where you. You do know the children of Israel wandered for 40 years when they didn't have to. Yeah. We try to get around it, over it, and even under it, but it is no use. In spite of our best efforts and intentions, that thing in our way just will not budge. It always seems to be there. It is in such times that, watch this, we must trust the Lord completely. If God has called you to do something, listen, saints, then he will remove the obstacles that stand in your way. Not yours, but mine. I trust him. I don't know about you. Why would God ask you to do something for which he knows you're incapable, have mercy, Lord, that you're incapable of, but not equip you to be able to do it? I know the plans I have for you, not to do what? Harm you, but to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. And that's why we got to get rid of cliches. Because we just say it because it sounds good. But do you really mean it when you say it? God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the call. Okay, all right, talk to me about that. Sounds really good. Sounds like pretty good theology, doesn't it? But do you believe it? And remember, it's likened unto Jesus when he asked the blind man, what will thou have me to do for you? And he make an excuse. God asked him, Jesus asked him one question. He couldn't even answer the question. And then Jesus always retort back, what? Do you believe? The centurion. So they're on the way to the centurion's home to heal his son. Even the centurion recognized who Jesus was, and he says to him, he said, you know what? I call one. He said, I'm also a man in authority. I call one, he come. I tell another, go, he go. He said, you know what, Lord? I'm unworthy for you to even come to my crib. You just speak the word. And then what does Jesus say? I've not found so great a faith even in Jerusalem. Because this man believed Jesus was who he said he was. And saints of God, hear me well. We have got to have that same faith that God is who he says he is and that he will do exactly what he says he'll do. But then watch this. What's our responsibility? Obedience. Most Christians, not you but me, have no problem with belief. There's a problem with obedience. Nobody wants to obey. 1 Samuel 15:22 says obedience is better than sacrifice. You come to church, you show up midweek, you do all those other things, but are you obeying? Are you doing what the word says do? Brother James says it like this: don't just be a hearer, but do what the word says. Don't show up on Wednesday night and not apply good teaching. Don't show up on Sunday at family church school and not apply good teaching. You hear it, God has given it to us for a reason. Amen. It is in such times that we must trust the Lord completely. If God has called you to do something, then he will remove the obstacles that stand in your way. There is nothing too big for him to handle, no problem too great. Our responsibility, here it is not to remove the obstacle, but rather to trust him to move it for us or give us the strength to overcome it. Amen. I just believe he'll do that. Matter of fact, I know that he will. I've had my own experience. Here are the facts to understand that sometimes things get in our way that try to prevent us from doing God's will or taking part in God's plan. You got to keep your eyes on him. Here's the principle. To see that nothing is too big for God to do. Your problem, you trying to magnify it and make it bigger than God, shame on you. That's what we do. Not you, but me. We, little small little problem, we start weeping and wailing. And the songwriter says, God is too big, you can't get around him. Too high, you can't go. We have a mighty God who can do all things. Amen. If he declared it, that is, if God has declared it, nothing can prevent it from happening. That's why you have to, the Bible says it like this, when we pray according to his will, he hears us according to his will, not what you want, but his will. Nevertheless, Jesus says, my will, but what? Thine will. Take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. And lastly, here's the application: to give your obstacles to God and trust Him to tear them down or remove them. Man, you ever read some of the things Paul talks about? Even you get over in Acts chapter 26, and man, that brother is Paul says we were shipwrecked, cold, no food. We ain't dealing with that, are we? These minor situations, obstacles that we encounter, most of them are self-inflicted. They're not things that are just outside of what we can control. Isaac did this. He says, you know what? I'm just going to keep praying. Again, in my sanctified mind, I'm sure he had the conversation with his daddy, Brother Abraham, Father Abraham, about how long it took for him to arrive on the scene, and told him that God promised me, told me I would be the father of many nations. Isn't it ironic that his wife too, just as was his mother, is barren. 20 years. They were married at 40. What woman, what man, what husband? Wait a minute. 20 years? For us to have a child? You start looking at me, I start looking at you. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with me? Now they put the commercial on television. You take this, take that. Do this, do that. 20 years. Here it is. Let's get into it. All right. Two things the author says we can look at. Number one, a need for divine intervention. Genesis chapter 25, verses 19 through 22. A need for divine intervention. Notice, divine intervention. Number two, a portent of future conflict. Genesis chapter 25, verses 23 through 28, addressing the Esau-Jacob dilemma. Amen. All right, so my sister, my brother, if someone, please, ma'am or sir, please read for us verses 19 through 22, if you don't mind. Genesis chapter 25, verses 19 through 22.
And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, and Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, and Laban, and Syria. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled.
All right. Amen. Amen. So we get some background historical information there in verses 19 and 20. Notice, as it says in verse 20, and Isaac was how old? 40 years of age. Remember last Sunday, Eliezer and the caravan, they're making their way back. They come back. And Bible says he loved her. He took her into his mother's tent. Amen. They're excited. His bereavement has been absolved because the Bible says as a result of their marriage, man, all that just went away. And now here they are, 20 years. But notice what it says in verse 21. And Isaac did what? Again, that word entreated means to ask earnestly. When you are seeking God for something, you've got to believe that God is going to answer your prayer. You got to believe that. Lord, you say it. And then more importantly, ensure, James says it like this, you have not because you ask not, but everybody hangs their hat right there. They don't go to the next, it says, because you ask amiss, which is to suggest that you ask with wrong motive. Your heart, okay, is asking for the wrong reasons. And God is trying to protect you from yourself. You got to ask, but you're asking because why? What God is going to do for you is for you to be able to bless somebody through how God bless you with what you're asking for. We're selfish people, not you, but me. More often than not, when we ask God for something, it's about me. It's about me. Lord, give me more faith. Give me more strength. Lord, help me to serve better so I can bless other folk. So I can walk out there and share the love of Christ. Somebody walking down the street, head down. And if by chance you put me in their pathway, I want to be able to encourage them, lift up a bow down head, and more importantly, witness to them about you. But we ask for stuff. Stuff we didn't come here and stuff that we can't even take with us when we check out. When the Bible clearly reports that, guess what? Seek ye first the kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. As if God does not know what we need. He knows. The Bible is very clear about that. In fact, there are things that we can't even pray about over in Romans chapter 8, where the Bible says, watch this, he makes intercession for you and I with groanings that we can't even utter, because we know not how we ought to pray as we should. But the Spirit maketh intercession. Boy, I love that, the way that reads for us. This Isaac's right here, it says it right there, verse 21, and Isaac entreated the Lord for who? For his wife. Not you, Brother Montgomery, but I got to pray more for my wife is what I take from that. And I do that every day. And I tell her that. And my wife challenged me sometimes when I'm listening to her talk, and I say, baby, I hope you're praying for yourself, but I pray for you. I'm up early in the morning. I go into my study area, and I'm down on my knees praying for my wife. Ask God, Lord, even as she get out here on this road, Lord, danger seen and unseen, you protect her. You know, she get on her job, let her not be frustrated by the day-to-day events that occur. Help her to know who she's working for. She's working for you, and you'll give her what she need. You know, because we deal with what? Folk who, man, it's tough sometimes dealing with folk who ain't got no God in their life, no heaven in their view, but we're to be a light, and we're to be salt, right? Amen. I'm just telling you what I'm telling you. That's how we have to be. That's, if we don't see ourselves that way, then what are we really saying about our relationship with God? Man, that's clearly born out in I am a church member. Three distinct chapters that even Brother Rainer addresses. He says, here it is, chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, 14, read them, and they all connect. And you want to know what the one, you know what the common thread is? What is it? He prayed for his wife because she was what? Barren. And then watch this. Notice, look. Don't miss this. And the Lord was what? Entreated of him. He heard Brother Isaac's prayer. How do we know? Read the next phrase. What does it say? And Rebekah, his wife, did what? Conceived. So see, when you, not you, but me, but here's my question. Have you talked to God about it? Brother Montgomery.
I think that's a lot of the problem is we're so materialistic that we ask for things that are really of no spiritual value.
Come on, man.
Look. When it's time to rely on your faith, if you don't practice it, you really don't have much to rely on. Because, you know, and
He gets it, doesn't he?
Years, and I still haven't seen it.
He gets it.
Like you said, you ask because but you don't receive because you ask to miss.
Man.
And also, when you ask, it's not going to be immediate. So 40 years and 80, 90 years to have a child.
And I don't want to get ahead of myself. I don't know if in the next quarter, if the writer is going to continue in the book of Genesis, because guess what? Even Isaac's own son, remember Jacob? Said he worked for how long? Because it's going to lead to the path where he's going to have an encounter with his who? With Brother Laban, a family member. And he comes in 7 years, and then he tricked him because he did to him what he was doing to others. He had to work another. But the Bible says it seemed like what? One day. And we can't wait 1 second. That's the kind of people, not you, but that's the kind of people we become. Microwave. You just put it in the microwave. You can't wait. And you read the packet, it says 30 seconds. You're trying to figure out what else to do within 30 You could have prepped the table, could have get your mat ready. And you stand up there looking at the microwave, looking at the as it count down. And it don't count down fast enough, does it, Brother Bird? Have mercy, Lord. Here it is. And notice. Watch this. Verse 22. And the children struggled together within her. Notice, they're already struggling in her womb. And she said, if it what? Be so, why am I thus? And what did she do? And you know what inquire means? She prayed. Sister Rebecca, trying to understand what's going on in her womb. Why is there a struggle in her womb? And to this day, if you look over in the Middle East, the Arabs and the Jews still can't get along. They're still warring against each other. So much so, you got a person who has the audacity to tell the leader of the Jewish nation not to allow these two individuals to come in. Yes, ma'am. And it creates problems, doesn't it?
Oftentimes it does.
Both.
And we kind of blame that on God because we decide, like you said, to take it on our own hand, put it in our own hand to solve this problem. Well, God wouldn't have created this, you know, ability to be, can't think of the word now, but for the, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
God wouldn't have invented that if he didn't want me to use it.
Amen.
That's what we do.
And then as a result of what you say, and then we create other problems for ourselves, both physically, emotionally, and otherwise, financially. So when we listen to our lawmakers, when they try to do what? Everything that is God designed, you know what they try to do? They try to write a law to regulate it, to govern it. And it's not intended to be. And here's the sad commentary about it all. And then you know what? The faith-based community will not stand up and say a word. What spiritual leader have you heard who is standing up, given the current events of the day that are taking place within our political system? Won't say a word. Not one word. Who's advising him? the most segregated day of the week. But we're all supposedly Christians. And no one says a word. That's a whole nother topic. I digress. Amen. Amen. Notice the two of them. Not only did Isaac, but even Rebecca talk to God about the situation. Their individual situations. Amen. Let me give you these because we're almost about out of time. Through generations and the seasons of life, God is faithful and keeps his promises. Whatever God has promised, trust me, he's a promise keeper. Number two, God cares about the details of our lives and orders them to fulfill, watch this, his plan, not yours. And that's our problem, not yours, but mine. I want it done the way I want it done. But God has a better plan for each and every one of us in this building, in this room right now. And you know what you ought to do? Every time you get down on your knees, ask the Lord, Lord, help me to be in your will as best as I know how, because it's your will that I seek to do. Amen. Number three, here it is. Godly families pray. Notice, remember I told you, not only did Brother Isaac pray, but Sister Rebecca did. So godly families pray for God's will to be done in their homes. I told you earlier, I prayed for my wife. Have mercy, Lord. I pray for my family. Near and far. I thank for God for my aunt, who's my only, she's the matriarch of the family now, the only elder among us these days. And man, when I talk to her, I just get excited. And when she tells me she's praying for me, she says, son, I'm praying for you. I said, I sure thank you for praying for me, man. I have mercy, Lord. We all need somebody praying for us. And we ought to be praying for each other and one another. And we got to be sincere about it. We as deacons, when we're gathering, and we here's what we say. Lord, pray for, I'm praying for deacon so-and-so. Well, you ought to do that. And we ought to be genuine and sincere about it. Pray for his family. Amen. The church as a body. We are the body of Christ. We did talk about that on Wednesday night, right? We're the body of Christ. And we ought to pray for one another. Amen. Here's number four. Never hesitate to ask our loving God for help and understanding when his work seems frightening or confusing, which I alluded to earlier. Even if it seems frightening, go. As a matter of fact, when you go, I got a good prayer for you. It's in the book of Psalms, number 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me, thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Because you do know he's a good shepherd, right? You can read about the good shepherd over in John chapter 10. He'll take care of you. We just have to believe that. We have the faith to believe. Listen, my sisters and brothers, let us read together verses 23 through 28. You ready? Let us read. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Here it is. Notice, Jacob was 80. That's 60. 60 years old. Isaac, 60 years old. First child. And then watch the favoritism. It's right there in verse 28. What does it say? And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. That's your first mistake. In your home, not yours, but mine, when you don't love your children equally. Many a family today, right now, is dealing with that same issue, and the child is 70 years old and resenting his or her sister or brother as a result of what mom and daddy did 50 years ago. Show up to the family reunion and act a fool and still talking about what you did when we were. And so it is, so much so with these two boys. Daddy loved him, but mama loved him. So much so, and notice what it says. And the older did what? Served the younger. And you got some young rascals in the family. Now they think they're in charge. Because my relationship with mama was stronger, closer than yours. I don't care that you're the oldest. And be ready to fight you. And let mama die. Oh, it's really on now. Mama said. Aretha Franklin, right now, her estate is not settled over these same similar things. And the way they're reporting it is to suggest that she has some handwritten wills that the court's trying to sort through as to whether or not they're legal. When stuff like this happens. We got to close. It's 9:00. I've run out of time. I'll share this last one with you. Amen. Even though God is in control, we as humans are responsible for our, here it is, they made a personal choice. Lastly, have mercy. Brother Montgomery, listen to this. Man's dysfunction does not derail God's will. You can mess it up. You can do whatever you feel like you need to do, but God's will be done, whether you like it or not. But mercy, it's better to be in the will of God tend to be outside the will of God. If it's wrong to be out of the body of Christ, it's probably right to be in. I prefer to be in than to be out. And in closing, here it is. Isaac showed that he was a man of faith, for he believed God instead of allowing himself to be overwhelmed by his circumstances. Saints of God, don't let your circumstances overwhelm you to the extent that you forget that God is still there. You hear me? He knew that God, watch this, would keep his word. The Bible says he's a man that what? That he can't lie. He can't deny himself. Sometimes we struggle even when God answers. For instance, we might not like what he says. Remain strong in your faith, though, because God has a plan for our lives, yours, mine. Have mercy, Lord. And he will bring you through any struggle you face. Anybody here, have mercy, Lord. Anybody in here 10, 15, 20?
Years old?
Amen. So you've lived long enough to know. Because if you hadn't, you wouldn't be here today. Saints, we've been through something. We have to acknowledge that. Watch this. I think I shared it last Sunday. Every time I think. Brother Burris, you know, we talk about it all the time as deacons. Talk about where we came from to where we are now today. Living in a one-room home with 10 other siblings. sleeping in the same bed. Outdoor. Barely enough to eat. One pair of shoes. Them your school clothes. Them your play clothes. You don't wear them right there. Amen. Here it is. Uh-huh. You are never alone when you are trusting in the Lord. I think that's, we can close right there. We're never alone. Because he says, he promises over in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, he will do what? Never leave us nor forsake us. God is a good God. If you believe that, go on, clap your hands and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Because he's a good God. That's my time. Thank you for your time.